Just behave yourselves and act like men.
Now you start using your head. That's not love. That's 3 feet above your ass.
People will come, Ray.
All right, don't try to strike everybody out. Strikeouts are boring. Besides that, they're fascist.
We don't stink right now.
You play ball like a girl!
You're out of here!
There's no crying in baseball!
High fly ball into right field. She is gone!
This is West Coast Bias.
Dynamite drop in, Monty. That broadcast school has really paid off.
Indeed it has. We got guys breaking records, teams getting antsy, brackets going up. In fact, we got a lot going on.
Yeah, in addition to that, there's been a lot of great baseball being played too. A lot of blowouts. Have you been enjoying all these lopsided games?
It's been fun. It's 2020 baseball. I mean, you never really know what to expect.
It really is. It's been a very strange season all the way around. Yeah. But hey, welcome. This is West Coast Bias Baseball Podcast. I am Samuel Paul.
I am Adam Nelson. Yeah, I don't even know. I keep saying this is 2020 baseball. I keep saying it. I don't even really know what that means.
Well, but, you know, it means the same thing. This is 2020, and I think that you can leave it at that. We told you last time that we would be back in 2 weeks. Well, it's been three.
Yeah.
Why? Well, because last week at this time, the air was unbelievably foul. That it actually gave me a sore throat. I didn't really want to talk during that time.
Yeah, well, I woke up that morning, literally my entire apartment was orange.
Oh,
just
yeah,
bathed in an
and
orange
everyone
light.
Was so excited that the Giants had made it back to 500.
Well, I thought it was a sun. I was like, oh no, even the Lord is a Giants fan. I didn't know what was going on, but I figured, hey, at least we'll do a show. Maybe I didn't know how healthy it was or unhealthy. As it turned out, it was actually just the tip of the iceberg. It just got worse and worse after that. But I thought it'd be a really interesting day to do a show bathed in orange light, although I wasn't too happy about it. But yeah, I mean, the entire day from sunrise to sunset, there never really was a sunrise.
It really didn't get bright until 3 o'clock in the afternoon.
Never bright here.
In my backyard, it was brighter at midnight the night before than it was at noon. It was pretty crazy,
really
but
weird.
We're breathing a lot easier here today, and our thoughts go out to all the people in Seattle, Portland, all along Oregon, and the rest of California that it continues to burn. Breathe easy and stay safe.
Yeah, it's affecting the baseball in general. I mean, the San Francisco Seattle games are moved to the Bay,
right?
Which a week ago I would have said that's not a great idea. The air quality here was, I mean, I guess it wasn't as bad, but it was sitting around 190, 200, which is really bad. I mean, I think the Niners game was, they were threatening to cancel
that
in
Santa Clara. They were threatening to think NFL's cutoff for the air quality index sits at 200. That's when they cut it off,
but and it was literally like 197 or something.
Yeah, it was,
which
is
basically
close.
I mean, it's really unhealthy.
How much of a difference those 3 points make, I don't know.
Yeah, it's like, do you die of lung? Yeah, I'm not gonna get into that. Tuesday's and Wednesday's games between the Mariners and the Giants were indeed pushed back a day, moved to SF. They'll now be played on Wednesday, today
and
tomorrow.
And
day game.
Instead of the day off, I believe...
They both had a day off scheduled for Thursday.
Thursday was supposed to be one of the makeup games against San Diego and San Francisco, because it was a mutual day off. They were going to make up the third game that was missed because of the false positive... COVID test out of the Giants clubhouse, three games were canceled, and two games were canceled, and one has been made up. They're gonna make up the other one. They're gonna make up the other one this coming Thursday, but
yeah,
now
and then
probably
the
not.
Padres are gonna go up to Seattle supposedly on Friday, I guess.
Maybe if the air is clear enough,
yeah,
maybe the Mariners will just head back down south.
Yeah, it's a topsy-turvy season, man. I don't know what's going on. And now we're getting the postseason notes are going to be basically in four parks, I should say.
Right. Four parks, two states, two AL stadiums, two NL stadiums. And, you know, for the most part, it makes sense. But, I know that I'm sure everyone has some sort of questions or reservations about the new look baseball postseason tournament.
Yeah, we all do. We're going to get into that a little bit later. I think right now, briefly cover the second no-no. I mean, with the last episode we did, there had just been a no-hitter from Lucas Giolito, and now Alec Mills in his first big league complete game
isn't that the state of things? Most of the time, if someone goes the distance, it's going to be a no-hitter or at least close to it.
Yeah. With all these doubleheaders, you would think so with the seven-inning games and everything like that. But this was not. It was a nice, good old-fashioned 114-pitch performance there. I think he walked three, I believe, struck out five. But hey, I mean, you know, it's a no-no's a no-no.
And quite a feat, and this also marks the first time that in history that the Cubs and the White Sox have recorded a no-hitter in the same season.
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah, it makes sense.
A little fun little tidbit. But
wow, that's pretty cool.
Yeah, so another 2020 kind of thing. It's going to happen. It's going to happen in 2020.
Exactly. I know, only five strikeouts. That was actually the fewest in Cubs no-hitters since 69. Holtzman had none against the Braves in August of 69. Five swinging strikes for Mills tied Dallas Braden with his 2010 perfect game for the fewest in a no-no. Since, I don't know, they began tracking pitches in the late 80s, 88, I think. Pretty cool. Will he ever get another complete game? That remains to be seen. But 114 pitches, that's very...
That's very efficient.
Oh, yeah.
Very efficient.
Oh, yeah, it's very doable. He can go out there again in four or five days. He should be fine.
No doubt.
Around the league right now, Albert Pujols hit his 660th.
Congratulations to him. That is quite the milestone. That now puts him
he's tied with
Willie Mays. Sure. Big but that's Willie. That's number five on the list. Or is it six?
Five, I think. I think he's tied.
That we should know off the top of our head. We apologize for this momentary lapse of memory.
Fifth all
it
time.
It is fifth.
Yeah, so one more than that, and then he's got fourth all by himself. But what was weird about that is that, he did that on the exact same day that Alec Mills threw that no-no.
Why is that weird?
That's not that weird, right. Well, it's weird because this is not the first time Pujols made history on a day that history was made elsewhere in the baseball world on the same day. In fact, when he got his 3,000th career hit, Pujols, that is, against Seattle, that same day the Dodgers threw a combined no-no against the Padres, led by Walker Buehler. And when Pujols hit career home run number 600, he did it in grand fashion, hitting a grand slam as he became the first of the nine members in the 600 club to do so. That same day, Edinson Volquez threw a no-hitter for the Marlins against the D-backs. On top of that, Pujols' grand slam was one of seven around baseball that day, which also set a record for grand slams in a single day in baseball history. Wow. So what can we expect when he passes A-Rod next? It was like 696, I think.
He's got
he made a perfect game thrown that day.
I don't know why he's got 37 home runs to go to. To catch
it. Still has 2 years on that contract,
is
I
it
think.
Two
right?
years? Is he going to make the 700 club?
No. Yes, because it's Pujols. It's Pujols. Who knows, man? He'll get some stem cell injection. I don't know. Yeah, all he has to do is DH or play first, and he's not that. He's still pretty good with the glove, you know.
He can still pick it at first.
Man, he's seen so many balls coming at him at first base. He knows what he's been doing
in the league for so long at this point that
I'm not gonna count out one of the greatest hitters of all time. So if anybody can do it, it's gonna be Pujols.
All right, you heard it here, folks. Pujols will indeed hit. At least 700 home runs. Woo-hoo! In his career.
Part of the other 700 club. Yeah.
Sure.
Did the Mets finally get bought? Is this?
I think they are really close to it. If it's not official by now, I think it would be the equivalent of a house in escrow.
Now,
they've agreed in principle, but it's not finalized.
Was this not A-Rod?
It is not A-Rod.
No, I'd like to take a little credit for this. I'm pretty sure everybody around the world heard this podcast and us calling
absolutely.
Him out for
and we definitely
hanging
know.
Out
we know that,
up with Jeff
that,
Luhnow.
That, right, and we know that Manfred, of course, listens to us, as well as I'm sure some top league officials.
Hey now.
We are seeming authorities. No.
He doesn't listen to Trevor Bauer, but he listens to us.
No,
and that's important.
I think this is the power of our Ig Nobel Award.
Right.
Yeah.
That
we gave the Ig Nobel Award to A-Rod because he was consorting with cheaters.
Right. Consulting and consorting.
Yeah. Well.
In fact, the Mets have been sold for a couple $1 billion.
Yeah,
something like that.
Yeah, to a man named Cohen.
Yeah, which is, I don't know if that's good. Can't be any worse, because the Mets have just been doing what the Mets usually do.
Right.
Which is, I mean, it doesn't make any sense. The Mets should be really good, and I say that as, I think I have three of them on my fantasy team.
On paper, they should definitely be very much in the hunt for a high seed wild card berth. And right now,
and they had a chance on Tuesday against the Phillies. I mean, the Phillies are what, only one game in front of the Giants, I believe.
Yeah,
it's crazy. They lost 4-1. The Mets did against the Phillies on Tuesday. The Mets managed to get 11 hits in that game. Two walks, two hit batsmen, a wild pitch into one run. They only got one run out of 11 hits, two walks, and two hit by pitch. And the one run was Brandon Nimmo's solo home run.
Right, of course.
They went 0-6 with runners in scoring position. They stranded 12. Like, what are they doing?
I would think that the proper response is, and our Mets fans and the audience are free to agree with me or not, but that is just so Mets.
It's very, very 2020 Mets. The Mets
it's
still
just
lead the majors.
Mets in general. It's
but
the Mets in general.
They
They've always, they're a hard luck team.
It's crazy.
And have been for
I
a long
guess.
Time. I think it has to do with ultimately the role that they fill cosmically.
Right, because so they're the new Cubs. Is that what you're saying?
No, they were the
because they're better than the Cubs.
They were the replacement. They were the consolation, the booby prize, if you will, of New York losing both the Brooklyn Dodgers and the New York Giants.
Interesting. But they won in 69.
Yeah, and in 86. But, you know, I mean,
barely.
In 69, it was the miracle Mets.
Right.
It took a miracle for them to. So,
and in 86, in some way, it kind of took a
I mean,
miracle as well.
It took the curse of the Bambino to have them win.
Right.
But it's. They're just a hard luck team. They wear Dodger blue and Giant orange. This is a team in conflict just on its uniform.
That's why I can't hate him. And I can't even love to hate him. I just can't love him, can't hate him, can't love to hate him.
Yeah, they're just the Mets.
They're just the Mets, I guess. They're the East Coast Padres, although the Padres seem to have figured it out. But let me just stick on the Mets for a second here. They lead the majors in batting average. 279.
That's great.
Nothing to sneeze at, man.
Yeah.
That is really good.
Where are they in RBIs?
Okay, exactly, and that's the problem. They have an on-base percentage of .354 and are second behind the Braves in WOBA. You know, based on their raw numbers, they should be averaging about 5.6 runs per game. Instead, they're averaging 4.9, and that is a bad. That is a bad.
It's a huge differential.
It's a huge differential. That's because they've hit so poorly with runners in scoring position. They're 25th in the majors.
Wow, 25th.
In other words, you know, the
leading
Mets
leading the league.
In batting average.
Yeah. And 25th in.
And on-base percentage, they're leading, yeah. And still 25th.
With runners in scoring position.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
So, you know, they should be 27 and 21. Instead, they're 21 and 27. You know, there are 12 games left in the season.
This is a magnificent game, isn't it, baseball, where you can have something like that. That's just crazy.
Yeah, this isn't even, I don't even want to say 2020 on that one, because that's just the Mets being the Mets.
I think so.
I don't know, man. There's only 12 games left. The Mets are 2.5 games behind the Giants for the 8th seed. And the Phillies, yeah, as we said, are only a game ahead of the Giants. So that loss against Philly for the Mets is just compounded that much. You know, it hurts that much more. But one team that doesn't seem to be struggling is the Padres. Although, I think they're going to lose today. I think they already lost. I turned it off right now. It was like the 9th inning.
Oh, yeah.
Kenley Jansen didn't go for the save because I think he had like 26 pitches or something last night, which was good to see Kenley, even though he loaded the bases, got a little nervous. You know, we were going to do a show last week, and I was going to give the ignoble award to Adam Ottavino for essentially ending my fantasy race. My attempts or my ability to maybe try to eke out a win this year. Ottavino shut the book on me last week with that one. He gave up six runs without recording it out.
That's rough. That's rough.
Very bad. And the worst part is I picked him up that morning to stream him. I was like, yeah, what's the worst that could happen? Oh, well, your fantasy season could end in one day. And it did, more or less. I mean, you know, crazier things have happened. And the last month of this season is going to be really strange, as it already has been, with 29 runs, 28 runs, 25 runs, games. I mean, it's just crazy.
Lots of lopsided games.
And then Kenley went and lost his marbles a few games back against the Trashtros, which was really hard to watch, especially since I have him on my team as well. And then
I bet
he goes and loads the bases up last night with the lead and got a little worried. But he looked, you know, I don't know what's going on with Kenley. In the beginning of the season, and I was watching every single game, and still am, but the beginning of the season, he had this weird rock thing that I think he picked up at Driveline. By rock, I mean he's literally rocking his whole body, like back and forth when he's on the mound, like right before he's about to pitch. It's like a weird little thing that he didn't used to have. But he was throwing gas in the beginning of the season, and he had a lot of movement, and he was looking great, and I was really happy for him, you know. And then lately, I've been noticing he's not doing that little rock thing, and I don't know if that's just to me. I'm chalking it up to his energy and his fire, and if he's doing that little rock thing right before he pitches, that means it almost seems like he's about to blow, you know. He's got so much energy in him, and it translates into the pitch. Lately, he hasn't been doing that at all. He's just been looking not sluggish, but not fiery. And his performances have shown that. And last night, he was kind of in the middle. I could see in his eyes he wanted it, but after loading the bases, you know, it was a little scary. He still got out of it. But
it can be nerve-wracking, and it's interesting the role of the closer has got to be one of the most difficult and fickle jobs to have in all of major leagues.
It's tough.
There are, you know, a handful of just legendary closers that have been around since the closing games was a thing. Sure, we could name off a
Hoffmans,
few of them.
The Hoffmans, the Riveras of the world.
Lee Smith.
Gagne, sure.
And I don't know if Gagne, he was good, but he didn't last really long enough. It was arm problem. Same with Rob Nan is right up there, too, but maybe not quite so legendary.
Like a Kimbrel also. No,
yeah.
Kimbrel still holds a lot of those average records.
And he's great, but it just goes to show how difficult it is. And I know the local television announcer for the Giants, Mike Kruko, a former pitcher, over the years that I've been listening to him call games, has always said the last three outs of a baseball game are the most difficult outs to get. And there's a fine line for pitchers anyway between really good and terrible. It all happens in the space between the ears. It's such a mind game to pitch. That all these guys have the physical ability to do it, but it's the mental capacity to stay tough and forget about what happened last time.
Right. And if you have one bad at bat, it's magnified.
Or one outing. It's magnified because it happens at the end of the game.
Right.
The Giants reliever Trevor Gott had that historic breakdown against the A's earlier this year. Lost a 6-run lead in the ninth inning, and
that might have been some managing that was involved but you're right.
I mean it's the game of inches, and some of the most important inches are the 6 inches between someone's ears.
And it's just
that much. There's something maybe that Rocky fell into an old habit. He went to the pros to see what he could do to keep his stuff, and they gave him this rock, and then at some point he fell back into his old habit and didn't have that rock and lost whatever extra that there was, and then that in turn led to loss of confidence on the mound, and that makes for some torturous ninth innings.
Yeah, it's pretty bad, especially for close. I mean, for hitters obviously too, a lot of it's mental. For all these guys,
90% of the game.
The starting pitchers have an ability to come back into a game if they can pitch 5, 6, 7 innings. You know,
right?
You give up a few runs. All right, fine. I'll
have a bad outing. Give up 5 runs in a couple innings, but still manage to get 5, 6 out. Come back 5 days later, and it's much easier. But if you give up a 3-run lead in the ninth.
Yeah.
In an important late season game against a division rival, and
it's hard to bounce back.
It's very hard to bounce back. The next night, you get out there and face basically the exact same situation, in a lot of cases against the exact same team.
Well, and that's been happening a lot this season because everybody's just playing their division, so it's the mystery and the elusiveness isn't there. And so I guess in a sense it's amazing more closers aren't getting lit up the way that they haven't really been that much this year, but the Giants and the Beavs.
Look at what happened to Josh Hader this year.
Yeah. I mean, he's not horrible, but he had a really bad game, though, a few days ago. Right. Yeah.
I mean, it hadn't happened to anyone. And it's because these guys don't pitch a lot, their numbers swing wildly because of it.
Yeah. And, that being said, right now the Dodgers did just win and they did just clinch their 8th in a row playoff berth. So, not the West, obviously, but they are officially in.
Cannot be eliminated from playoff play.
Right. And they can't be eliminated on one game either, apparently, just like it usually is. All right. Are we just going to get into this postseason schedule? Because this is some.
It's time to talk about. It's time to talk about playoffs, is it?
It is.
That was weird, wild stuff.
Yeah, this is really strange. I mean, first of all, let's just get it off. Like, Manfred. How many times I got to say his name? Manfred.
We can just call him the commish. The commissioner?
Yeah, that's a little too. That's like a. Compliment, and I don't,
No.
Manfred doesn't really deserve that this year. Okay. They're apparently, MLB is still working out the details between, but apparently there will be fans in attendance in the LCS and the World Series.
Really?
Yeah. I mean, Manfred was quoted as saying, "I'm hopeful that the World Series and the LCS we will have limited fan capacity. I think it's important for us to start back down the road. Obviously, it'll be limited numbers, socially distanced, protection provided for the fans in terms of temperature checks and the like.
And that's what they said about Kansas City. If you watch the opening game of the NFL season, in the Thursday night game in Kansas City, they let fans into the field, and they said they were going to be socially distanced, but there's very obvious.
Yeah, they're all clumped together.
Clumped
I saw
together.
Them. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Yeah, I don't know how they. I mean, how could you do that unless you literally put like plexiglass boxes all over?
All those cardboard cutouts, I guess, in the seats where you can't.
Well, and you know, you'd have to, cordon off. I mean, how many people? Four people max together, like families, and like what if you're not a fan? I mean, it's so hard to determine that. And then have security guards like keeping an eye on you. And what about the bathroom situation? Like,
right.
I don't know. Who knows? But it is Texas. But the other hurdle is that the American League will be playing in California. So Texas, sure, maybe, you know, they have live shows going on in Houston. I know that they have indoor venues full bore right now. But so I don't think that's an issue. But they have to get past the local governments,
right?
Which is been the biggest obstacle, which is why they don't have any fans, because some states might allow fans this season, but
right.
Other states don't, and then they got to commingle, and that's not going to work. But since it's going to be a bubble, so to speak, then maybe it is possible. I don't know. And then Manfred also said, and maybe he knows something that seemingly nobody else seems to know or purport, unless you're Trump, maybe. He said, quote, "What our experts are telling us is that they expect by the time we resume play in the spring, we will have a widely distributed vaccine."
Well, this is the prevailing news, and I do hope that it is true.
I mean,
we'll see what happens.
I mean, come on. Really? By then, widely available? I doubt it. I know they need the fans in there to get them used to coming back to the games, hopefully next year, if there is indeed a vaccine. But
getting used to going back to the way that it was, I think maybe people will be more trepidatious. Maybe people will be more aware. But as far as I don't think
people are going to
forget. I don't think people have forgotten how to go.
I know, but that's what you know. these are the reasons they're giving.
Yeah.
Now, obviously, you know, MLB's main goal is to make sure the postseason can you know, finishes.
Right.
So they can get all those billions of dollars in TV money.
Right. And I would say it's a good idea if they want to sort of do like dress rehearsals of what it would look like when we can all reconvene for the sake of the stadium operations. The fans don't need to practice.
I tend to agree. Now, just some postseason notes here. In the 1960s, the entire decade, there were 66 postseason games played the entire decade. I already said that. If every postseason series this year goes the distance, we could see as many as 65 games with the 16 teams and everything. The first round will feature 8 best of 3 with the higher seed hosting the series
right
at the home
and
park.
With that,
and that's going to be some issues
go
too.
Ahead and circle on your calendar the date of September 30th, where there will be 8 playoff games being played on that single day. Every
American
single,
League starts the day before, right? But then that day it's American and National. Yeah.
Right. So it'd be 8 active playoff games being played on a single day, which is
and those
pretty amazing.
Playoffs will be home field advantage for the first round, for the wild card. But
right.
Starting in the DS, there's going to be a bit of a bubble in San Diego and Dodger Stadium.
Right,
the American League teams.
The bubble will actually start a week before and include.
Well, the quarantine starts a week before,
right?
Supposedly,
but the quarantine is the start of the bubble, where all teams that are in contention quarantine with family. Should the family choose to, and then. Move to their respective big bubbles,
right?
In L.A. or Texas,
right? Or San Diego,
Southern California, yeah.
Southern
or
California
Texas.
Or Texas, exactly. Now I don't like this.
You don't like the bubble?
Now we have to see Minute Maid Park, no matter if the Astros get in or not, replete with the goddamned World Series winners banner flag that they get to still fly free. Now look, this is why MLB should have made the Astros take down their World Series winners flag thing, you know, inside of Minute Maid Park. Let them keep the damn title for record books, okay? God forbid we alter the record books, fine. But do not allow them, symbolically as it may be, to keep that stupid World Series winners flag in the park for all of the baseball watching world to see. No, I don't like that. Because you know they're going to zoom in on it. Home of the 2017 World Series champs. No. Bad MLB. Bad Manfred. Outrageous. On the plus side, however, and assuming the Astros do make it through the wild card round, they will hopefully be playing at Dodger Stadium with all those local fans. And won't that be nice?
Well, the fans be loud in the stadium in California, because last time I checked, we're not allowed to congregate in large groups indoors. We can't go into restaurants yet.
Well, it's outdoors, luckily. So, you know, I know. But, according to Manfred, we'll see. I mean, hopefully. But I guess you're right. That would mean that the Astros would have to make it to the LCS, which I don't know if it's worth it. In fact, I don't think it is. To hell with them. Give them the boot. I don't have a walk the plank. I don't have one of those here.
You know, we'll have to. We'll have to get one.
All right, have
that.
That
might work.
it is going to be strange though, because there are going to be no days off for these guys, aside from, you know, in between series.
Right.
0 days off, which, you know.
Well, I mean, hey, they've only played literally a third of what they're otherwise.
Yeah. But, you know, what this does do is, you know, it means that teams won't be able to, quote unquote, shrink their pitching staffs, you know, like the Nats did, like the Red Sox did the last two winners of the World Series. In fact, last year, Strasburg, Scherzer, and Corbin accounted for 58.6% of the innings pitched, or 89.2 out of 153. And in 2018, Red Sox, Eovaldi, Price, Porcello, they pitched 59% of the total innings that year. And of course, you don't have to look too much further back to Madison Bumgarner doing it, you know, like the Giants did in 2014. Right. You know, they won 12 postseason games that year, in which Madison Bumgarner pitched in 6 of them. That's not going to happen this year.
No, but they'll will be allowed more players than usual on their bench, but that also it doesn't necessarily mean that the main small amount of pitchers will take the majority of the innings. That could still happen in the postseason.
Now with no days off.
Well,
I don't think so.
We're gonna have the first series is literally like a 3-game series.
Right. So what if you're the Indians, or what if you're the Mets?
You have
DeGrom, and you need to win that last game of the season. Then your best pitcher isn't even going to be in the wild card. And then maybe if he pitches the wild card, he won't even be in the DS unless it goes 5 games. I mean, that's brutal. I mean, it's kind of good though for teams that are really stacked pitching wise. I'm thinking of the Dodgers, obviously, but even the Giants to an extent, you know, in terms of bullpen. Padres as well, but it'll benefit teams that have a lot bigger depth in their pitching rotation, because you're not going to be able to see a guy go twice in one series.
Well, okay, I see what you're saying now, and yeah, I do.
Like Scherzer coming in
agree
in relief.
With that.
Yeah,
but I mean, once we get into the LCS and the World Series, I think that the rotation. There will have been enough time to restructure the rotation.
One day off in between series? I don't know. I mean, if your best pitcher goes game 3 or game 2, you're not going to see him again. Game 7.
Well, I mean, this is where the strategy comes into play.
Right.
I mean, there will be time between the last game of the regular season and the first game of the playoffs.
How much time? Because the regular season goes to like September 27th, I believe. Right? It's good. It's basically boom, boom. You know, the Dodgers play their last regular season game on the 27th. Yeah. And then, yeah, what, 2 days later? They're in the postseason. Yeah, I mean, it's
September 29th is the first game, so they will have a couple days in between the last day of
a couple. And luckily, the Dodgers hopefully won't have to put all their best guys out in that last season. Although, if the Padres keep winning, obviously they lost today and yesterday,
right? And the way that they just took care of the Giants in San Diego, this past weekend. The last three games the Padres play are here in San Francisco.
And the Dodgers have to play Oakland for three out of the last six games as well, and Oakland's not an easy team to beat. They do play the Angels for the last three, I believe, but still, at home, but still. I mean,
it'll be interesting. This is going to be a fun little pennant race, more fun than people were predicting. It was looking like early on that there's just going to be a few teams to run away with the divisions, and there wasn't going to be a tight race at the top. And it turns out there's going to be some tight races up at the top.
Yeah, I don't know. I'm excited just because there's going to be a lot of baseball with basically no off days, which is kind of cool, especially since I have a lot of time on my hands right now. I mean, I don't know if I will come a month from now. But
well, we can only hope that we can be back to work in a month from now. But
right. But I do have some questions for some food for thought. All right. Because especially pertaining to the wild card game, I really don't like this best of three. I mean, it's absurd. And I'm sure we've complained about this on the show before. But you know, I think what they could have done, or maybe what they should have done, is like I think what they did in the NBA with its wild card qualifier, which is in the first round, where the division winners only have to win one game to get through to the division series. You know, best of three with home field advantage is not good enough, in my opinion. You know, a team that wins, like the Dodgers, I don't know how many games they're going to win. 40 games, 50, I mean, you know, whatever.
So you have three, so what you're saying is you have three possible games, but the
division winners only have to win one.
The division winner,
yeah.
If they win the first game of that, then we're done here.
Yeah.
If they lose the first game, win the second game, we're done here. Yeah. But if they lose the first two games, we're done
here. They're up. Exactly.
It might be.
Because now, and we'll get into the brackets in a second,
that's better a reward. It's better than sudden death for both teams.
100%.
You give that wild card team, okay.
Give them a shot.
Win to play.
Right.
If you want to keep playing in this tournament, you got to win.
And so, that also benefits people winning their division. Because otherwise, right now, if the season ends, Dodgers play the Giants. I don't want that.
Right, in a three-game series, the Giants have won a few games.
They have a shot. They have more than a better shot, exactly. I mean, obviously, the Dodgers have a better shot to beat them, but when they play each other, historically, they're very close games.
And 6-4 this season.
And the Giants should not have the same advantage that the Dodgers have. I mean, home field without fans, what's the point of that? Especially this year. Right. Especially this year when there are no fans.
Right, especially when there's no fans. That's totally reasonable. It's an interesting idea. I think, we know you're listening, Manfred. Let's think about this for future playoff.
Well, hopefully, this never happens again with 16 teams.
But it'd be an interesting idea for the wild card series, even in the previous year's format.
Yeah. Well, but in those years, that's two wild card teams going at it in one game. It's just a one-game deal, you know, which I have a lot of gripes against that as well. But, you know, because then you get two great teams, like 97-win teams, like the A's against the Rays, that one of them have to go home. Like, all right, but I don't know. Anyway, luckily the Astros are not nearly what they used to be. Oh, I wonder why.
Makes a bit of a difference when you know what's coming.
Now, Is it, in terms of possible sort of home field advantage, it appears that there is a kind of incentive, at least for the National League, to be the number one seed overall. And if you look at the bracket, it's because you can see that if you are number one overall, you get, in a sense, home field advantage throughout right. the entire postseason.
You don't have to go anywhere right. outside the bubble of the one city that you're in.
Globe Life Park. Because at first I was thinking, like, well, you know, if the Dodgers are only, like, one game ahead of the Padres with three games left in the season and the Giants are going to be a clear number eight, why wouldn't they just maybe tank a few games to play, I don't know, somebody else?
Take a few days off, reset the rotation,
and then not play the Giants. I mean, again, like, I'm giving a lot of credit to the Giants here by saying that, but I know historically, and whenever I watch those games, they're always hard fought, and I don't want the first round of the playoffs to have to be that hard won,
right?
Or lost, for that matter. Anyway, but this sort of
As a Giants fan, I would love to see the Giants play and beat the Dodgers.
They're not going to play any other
first round.
They're not going to play any other team as good or as well as they would have played the
Giants. Totally agree.
But according to the official MLB postseason bracket, the National League Division number one and the National League Wild Card number two and the National League second number one and the National League second number two play in Arlington. And then in the NLDS, they play in Arlington. NLCS is in Arlington. And then the World Series will be in Arlington at Globe Life Park. I think it's just Globe. I don't know. It's their new stadium. I kind of get it. They want to show MLB's brand new stadium on a national stage. You know, it makes sense. I honestly can't blame them for it. And it truly is a neutrals park. It's not Houston, which is good. It is a new park that nobody's really seen. And honestly, I've only seen a few games and highlights from, because I don't have any Rangers on my fantasy. Oh, actually, I have Isaiah Kiner-Falefa. But the park does look pretty cool.
It is. Well, I mean, all of the newer ballparks are all absolutely beautifully done. And fun place to look at architecturally as well as activities happening on the field.
Yeah. Now, this also raises a few questions and why I think that this postseason will be really interesting. Do you think this postseason will sort of reveal certain teams' weaknesses, like, or make teams that look really good not as good as they actually are just because they've only been playing their same division? I'm thinking about the White Sox, obviously, the Padres to an extent as well. Like, when they have to start playing other divisions for the first time all season, will their flaws be exposed?
Well, I think that'll be really fun to see. Once these teams start playing teams that they haven't seen all year, perhaps since the first spring training.
Right, 1.0.
I think it'll be a lot of fun to watch. It'll harken back to the days before 97, when we got the interleague going, that the first time that any American League team played any National League team was those seven games in the World Series. And that was a lot of the intrigue.
Yeah, of course.
Because you got the best team in, supposedly the best team.
No, it's true.
In one league against the best team in the other league, and there's no way that we could have gotten a preview of this beforehand.
Well, and you know, now that's actually a great point, because that might also be why historically the baseball MLB All-Star Game has been actually fun to watch and actually hard won.
Because it's the only time you get to see these players play against each other, especially if these teams don't go to the World Series ever or often.
Right. Exactly.
And if they're not a Yankee, probably haven't seen them in the World Series.
Yeah, that's interesting. And no, that makes perfect sense. And I think to this day, it's still the best All-Star game of any sport. I mean, basketball is like 180 to 160. Nobody plays defense. Hockey, same thing.
Right.
You know, but football is a joke.
If you never play each other during the regular season, you hear about these guys and you have an opportunity. Hey, the best of the best of the guys who I play against regularly,
yeah,
all playing the best of the best of the other league that all play against each other regularly.
We'll see.
You know, we'll see how we match up individually, and then the World Series. Here we go, the best team in the versus the best team. The first time they've seen each other all year, even the possibility of seeing each other all year.
It's going to be fun.
Yeah. It will be, and we get that on more levels because of inter-division games.
I think it'll be great for the pitchers, obviously, because these hitters haven't seen them.
Oh, yeah, it'll be an advantage for the pitchers.
Either way, it'll be good. Now, speaking of best of the best, obviously, we've been gone for a couple weeks, so we haven't touched on Lou Brock or Seaver, for that matter, as well. But
rest in peace to both of those amazing players. Hall of Famers, no doubt Hall of Famers, and just true legends of the game. Really looking, after hearing about the deaths, looking at the numbers, Tom Seaver, it's really quite remarkable how good he really was, and how much that he means to that Hard Luck franchise that we were talking about a little bit earlier.
That team sure did suck last night.
Then to find Lou Brock dies 5 days later, found an interesting little connection between these two players is that during their careers, the batter that Tom Seaver faced the most was Lou Brock.
Really?
And Lou Brock, as a hitter, faced the pitcher Tom Seaver the most, more than any other pitcher, during his career. And then they end up dying 5 days apart.
Wow.
Really pretty fantastic little connection between the two.
Was Brock COVID related?
I did not see many details regarding the circumstances of his death.
I thought I saw that. I mean, either way, he was pretty up there, but still.
Yeah.
That's crazy. That is pretty cool. They were sort of best of enemies for their entire lives, I guess.
They were certainly fierce competitors. I believe that they were friends later on in life, too.
Well, I'm sure if they see each other more than anybody else, you know. I think after your baseball career, you become a lot more sort of wistful, I would imagine.
Yeah, unless your name is Nolan Ryan, apparently.
Or Curt Schilling. Or Aubrey Huff, for that matter. And that brings us to this week's Ignoble Award of the Week.
Oh, man.
What do you got?
Well, we had a couple of candidates this time around. No, but my particular, my view, winner.
Recipient, winner.
I don't know. It's a pretty ignoble, dubious kind of award. And it also has a power that we discussed
100%.
Earlier. 100%. Bob Nightingale, reporter for the USA Today, he reported that a Giants player had tested positive for COVID-19. This is before the Giants-Padres game. And had broken protocol and hadn't been infected by his family and friends in San Diego. It was leaked that the player with the positive test result was Alex Dickerson, who, of course, lives in San Diego. His wife is in San Diego and has a lot of friends in San Diego. But it turned out that this was wrong. Alex Dickerson had not broken protocol visiting his 39-week pregnant wife who had been on bed rest for a month,
which by the way is over 9 months. Like, that's like she's
been on bed rest and was approved by Major League Baseball for Alex Dickerson to see her. He saw no one else, and the COVID result was a false positive. As a result of this report from the USA Today, Alex Dickerson and his wife received threatening hate mail.
Jeez.
Because of this report that was absolutely false. And now Bob Nightingale faces no sort of punishment
has he repercussions issued an apology or anything like that?
There's been no apology being issued. And on the USA Today website, it looks like the original article has been edited slightly with no last edited date attached, which is sort of very fishy. The punishment, the retribution is here. Congratulations, Bob Nightingale. You have our ignoble award of the week. Let's get some good, responsible reporting, not just in sports, but across the board.
And by the way, that screwed a lot of fantasy owners as well, too, that do like head-to-head leagues, I know.
Oh, yeah.
Because, you know, I've been seeing people going off. Because that postponed those games. Anybody that had Tatis Jr. on their team.
Or Alex Dickerson.
I had Alex Dickerson. I mean, yeah,
the way that he'd been knocking the covers off the ball the last several weeks, why would he jeopardize?
Right.
I mean, I don't know. It's a sick, sad world, but it's the one that we are...
Sick, sad world.
It's the current one that we are living in, so...
He is a sick puppy.
That's funny, man. I forgot about that. Was that Daria?
Daria, yes. Absolutely. Yes, friend and acquaintance of the original Beavis and Butthead. Thank you very much.
That's good. That is good. Yeah. That is good.
Beyond that, yeah, it's
That's pretty bad.
It is bad. So that's my rant going on.
100%.
Yeah. I mean, the other candidate I had, of course, was the Texas Rangers. You heard about this? You remember the whole Tatis Grand Slam kerfuffle?
Great.
On that game, they were at 10-10, a .500 team.
Okay.
Since then, the Rangers have managed to go 7-21 with an overall record of 17-31 for the year. So that was the other candidate.
Wow.
Fancy. How fancy.
Ouch. Yeah, that's pretty bad. Well, you know what? We'll give him a dual award. How about that? Yeah. But somebody that is not getting the Ignoble Award would be Max Scherzer.
No. Who,
no, he actually, with his 98th 10-plus strikeout game on last Sunday, he passed Sandy Koufax all time. Yeah, it's pretty good, man.
Rarefied company. Yeah. He's up there.
And he only needed 5 innings to do so. And that's actually his 5th 10-plus strikeout game this season. Now he is ranked 5th all time on that list of most career games with 10 or more strikeouts. It's going to be a while for him to catch Nolan Ryan, who's obviously number one with 250.
Will anyone at this point catch Nolan Ryan?
And doing a little research on here, I was kind of surprised to see that actually somebody did get within 3 of Nolan Ryan. Now, usually, so second place is 212. Nolan Ryan has first place with 215. Third place, 110. I mean, so almost half that falls off from second to third. And Pedro Martinez is 4th with 108. That was Roger Clemens with 110 games of 10 strikeouts or more. Nolan Ryan, number one. But can you guess who number two is?
I want to say Randy Johnson.
Ding, ding, ding. There it is. Yeah, I mean, Mr. Dominant right there, you know. Especially the lefty. Dominant.
I just have to look at the list of total strikeouts just to have that.
Right.
That's the 1-2 in total strikeouts as well right now.
Right, because you need to be dominant, but you also need to have a long career.
Right.
So, yeah, Max has got 98. He's a couple away from getting that nice triple-digit mark, and then, I guess, 10 more away from tying Pedro. But, man, usually Nolan Ryan is, like, in a class of his own. But the fact that Randy Johnson got that close, I honestly had no idea. I never would have thought that. But him being number two is not surprising. That makes perfect sense.
Yeah. But what's surprising is the number of times that he had so many...
It's just double-digit strikeout games. Yeah, it's crazy. I guess in a sense it's also crazy that Koufax had that many, and he didn't even have... I mean, he quit at his prime.
Well, he didn't really quit. He couldn't do it anymore.
Well, he retired on his prime. Right. I mean, he could have, but he couldn't have because that surgery didn't exist yet.
Right.
And he could have fought through the pain, but then as he said, he's like, I'd like to be able to pick up my daughter when I'm a little bit older, you know?
I want to be able to use my arm for the rest of my life.
Right. I want to be able to drive a car. Yeah, I know. It's crazy. Yeah, I mean, would he have even gotten the Tommy John surgery had it existed yet? I don't know. Probably not. I mean, he's fine. He's already in the record books for
No one's going to ever forget his name, and he's in the Hall of Fame, and it truly is impressive that in the shortened career that Koufax had, it's just, I wonder where he would have finished if he did not blow out his elbow what those numbers would have looked like, you know, had he had another 6 years.
He could have. I think he could have still kept pitching. Just it wouldn't have been fun. But yeah, I know. It's crazy to think about that. Speaking of badasses and lefties, Babe Ruth, I believe, was he passed recently?
Oh well, he was. There's actually been a few Babe Ruth records to have fallen in the last couple of weeks.
Babe always seems to find a way into this podcast.
That's what tends to happen if you are one of the greatest evers, if not the greatest.
Imagine
ever.
Explaining a podcast to Babe Ruth. You go back in time. I guess it would make sense. That would probably make more sense than anything else.
It's pre-recorded radio that you download on your own time.
Download?
You can listen to it whenever you want. Yes. Here we are. Here's my notes here. So, Nick Markakis passed Babe Ruth for career doubles.
Nick Markakis. I don't buy that. How is that possible?
He hits a lot of doubles. I don't have it right in front of me.
The Babe hit a lot of doubles. I mean, the guy still leads slugging all time, more than Barry. I mean, that's pretty crazy. Continue.
Max Fried. He became the first lefty since Babe Ruth to allow no home runs in his first 8 starts and carry an 8-0 record during those starts.
Yeah, that's my boy Max Fried. He's been injured though for a long time now. I was hoping he would come back at some point, but he hasn't pitched since September 5th, I believe.
Right. Well, after that 8th start, I suppose.
Yeah.
I don't know. Better than giving up a home run? I don't know.
I think he's coming back, though. He should be scheduled to pitch on Friday, I do believe, the 18th. So make sure to get him in your fantasy. Right. It was his back. But yeah, Max Fried, man. Wow.
And then we have two Braves, Osman and Duvall, became the only teammates with 3 home run games in back-to-back days since Ruth and Garrick did it.
Really? Yeah, Duvall was just going off.
Yeah, that was a pretty intense, offensively charged series that the Braves had that week. Truly remarkable. But those are three things that Babe Ruth did that have been passed by other people. Not the same people, but which is what, again, makes Babe Ruth pretty incredible to have all of these records.
It only took 100 years.
We're talking both hitting and pitching records. that have
it, the
lasted
goat.
For 90 goat. Years. Yeah. It really is.
It's hard to argue. I mean, if Trout started pitching, then, you know, maybe he'd be the goat at some point. But I don't think he's going to start.
Maybe Ohtani can give him some pointers.
Well, man, I love Ohtani, dude. I had some high hopes. Maybe unreasonably high, as everybody else probably did. But there's still hope. I don't know. I doubt that. I don't think we'll ever see another Babe again. But I did see, who was it that got the, for the Reds, what's his name? Starts with an L. Michael Lorenzen got a win. I saw that. The dual, you know, outfielder pitcher.
Yeah.
Now, I don't know what's going on with his jersey. I don't know if his right arm is that much bigger than his left, but I don't know if you saw that. Like, his right arm, or if he cuts the sleeve off or something, but his right arm, his pitching arm, is, like, gigantic and, like bursting out of the jersey, and then his left arm looks normal. But his jersey seems longer on his left arm. I don't know if you saw this.
I have not seen it.
I'll post something on the Twitter.
I'll have to take a look.
He looked great. I mean, he's throwing, like, high 90s. You know, the guy's a beast.
But he looks a little bit
lopsided. I don't know what it is, man. It's like, it's like he's a professional arm wrestler or something. I don't know. It's really strange. Like, it could just be the jersey, but I've never seen a jersey tailored that way where your right arm is much high. The sleeve is much higher up on the arm. And then I was like, well, maybe he's just, like, hiking it up. Like, you know, maybe he's just, like, pulling it up a little bit.
Was there, like, the piping there? Or is it, does it
it's not frayed. No, it looks like, and I kept looking. I'm like, what's going on here? Like, I keep trying to look at his left arm. But I don't know. Either way, the guy's jacked. The guy's throwing heat, you know, and he can also hit home runs, you know, so I like that they're finally letting him do it, but, you know, with all the new rules, which I know they're not doing this year, obviously, with the multi-position player rule or whatever, hitter-pitcher thing, but I don't know. It's pretty cool. It's pretty cool to see him. Speaking of Lorenzen, do you ever watch Bauer Bites? You watch this Trevor Bauer show on YouTube?
I'm not a regular watcher.
It's pretty good, man.
I'll see a few clips here and there.
I gotta hand it to Trevor Bauer, man. That guy is like basically the opposite of Manfred. He's kind of just he's putting out quality content. You know, I mean, some of the stuff like his like daily video blog or whatever. That's, you know, all right, that's fine. But you still get a behind the scenes look at ballparks and everything. But no, so he has this show, he has a few shows. He has like the breakdown where he breaks down pitches and at bats, you know, which is pretty interesting. It gets really esoteric and kind of nerdy, but you know, if you love baseball, they're pretty awesome. He's not the best, like, you know, speaker in a sense, but you know, he's a damn baseball player, you know. But he has a show called Bauer Bites, and it's basically like four or five guys eat dinner and they just sort of talk. And he was doing a show kind of like this like a year ago or so during the off season, with he would just interview like one guy and they would have dinner, and it was super awkward and the production value wasn't very good, but it's nice to hear these stories because you don't get to hear these stories in Major League Baseball. You know, they like to keep everything hush hush, you know, keep it quiet, don't disgrace or embarrass your club, whatever. But, you know, this show, it's kind of like his old show but on steroids now, because now there's four or five guys at the table. Mostly they're all in baseball. He's had a couple football players on, but
they're all pro athletes, but
generally pro athletes. He had the co-founder of Driveline Baseball on, which was pretty cool. Okay. But it's just really interesting. You know, these guys aren't the greatest conversationalists, obviously, but it's a cool, there's nothing else like it out there. It's so hard to find a non-scripted show interviewing baseball players. You know, because they're not really being interviewed; they're just sort of talking. It's kind of, you know, do you remember that show Dinner for Five with Jon Favreau? It's like early 2000s. It was
vaguely
nobody watched it. I loved that show. He would take like Hollywood celebrities, actors, producers, you know, people in the entertainment industry, and there would be five of them, and then they would just go to a restaurant and they would eat and they would film it. You know, and there's always like a weird awkwardness where some people don't want to eat because they know they're on TV and all that stuff, but usually some wine is going, food is going, people start to like let their guards down and they talk, and you know, they have crazy stories.
Right.
That show was super cool, man. I loved that show. It was short-lived. Nobody probably even knows what the hell I'm talking about. But this, it's kind of like this show. It's on YouTube. Anyway, I'm just going on because I watched like 4 or 5 episodes because I realized like this is what I want, you know, and this is what MLB is so tone deaf toward. And they just released a new social media guidelines and rules. I don't know if you saw this recently.
No, I did not.
Trevor Bauer's going off. He's like the sort of baseball Twitter darling, you know. He's always calling out Manfred.
Yeah,
like directly
sure.
calling him out, which
and maybe
actually
that's
pretty awesome.
Part of maybe why these guidelines have been enacted, perhaps.
He called him out today, actually, saying, "Hey, Manfred, you know, I'm breaking the rules apparently by posting a picture of himself wearing a Reds uniform. What do you want to fine me?" Kind of thing. Social media policy / major league players. There are now 10 new rules, which could be, if you break the rules, could be fired or terminated or fined. And some of these rules are just insane. Like some of them, okay, fine. You know, no displaying or transmitting content that contains sexually explicit language, images, acts, whatever. Okay,
fine. You shouldn't be doing that anyway.
Right, exactly. Inciting violence or harassing people, fine. But
shouldn't
then some
be doing
of them,
that anyway.
Like number two here is using an MLB entity's logo, mark, or written photographic video or audio property without obtaining proper authorization. That basically just means you can't even take a picture of yourself wearing a Reds hat or a uniform. I mean, it's crazy. It's insane.
An
entity's logo without express permission? I mean, what are they doing?
They're not allowing players to be able to market themselves or have a voice anywhere.
Linking to the website of any MLB entity on any social media outlet without obtaining proper authorization. Displaying or... it's just... oh my God, dude, I can't even... I thought we were getting somewhere. Honestly, I thought...
Yeah, the MLB came out with their video platform.
That's
you
right.
You can now find and
finally
watch clips from any major league game that they've uploaded so far. That
tens of thousands, though. A lot of clips, yeah. Which is great.
The rest of them just need to be converted to digital, I suppose, to be uploaded. I'm sure there's just millions of hours of content from over the years of games being televised locally and nationally.
Yeah.
They've got to exist somewhere.
I thought they were getting somewhere in terms of what the fans want.
And then this rule is super restrictive. Being
it's crazy.
Able to say, hey, check out this Major League approved clip. Oh, but I can't show you because I can't link to it because of these new rules.
Right. There's another one here. It basically says you can't post anything about umpires or umpires' calls or decisions. Really?
Well, to that, I would invite any major leaguer out there to go ahead and DM the show if you have a complaint about an umpire or a specific call.
Yeah, we'll
I don't
do
care
it for
what
you.
Team. You can be a New York Yankee, and you can email us your complaint.
BaseballShowPodcast@gmail.com. DM us at...
And we will go ahead and put out that tweet bad-mouthing that umpire. We have no problem doing that. We'll put it on Facebook. We'll put it on Twitter. And we'll make sure that every single complaint about an umpire that you, as a Major League Baseball player, want to make, go ahead, let us know. We'll complain.
At
on
West
your
Coast
behalf.
Bias BB. You know where to find it. I know. This is just crazy. I mean, it's insane.
It is. It's
so Bauer called out Manfred today on Twitter, basically saying, you know,
that's good.
You know, what's going on? Like, it was really nice. He was like, can we just sit down? I'd love to have a conversation with you because this is so tone deaf. It's just ridiculous. Right. Like, are they just, it's kind of like making all these blackout restrictions years ago just to fill their pockets at the expense of all the fans who actually support and are the reason for their existence.
Not even limited to the fact that if you actually open up those blackout things, you'll get so many more subscribers on MLB TV.
100%. That's the one reason why I didn't subscribe this year.
There's two baseball fans sitting in this room that the only reason why they haven't subscribed to it is because, you can't watch the local games. Well, what's the point?
Exactly. That's, I mean, what is the point?
During most baseball seasons these days, I don't get to go on vacation. I don't travel much outside of my favorite team's local market.
Nor can we this year.
Nor can we really this year. You can't go anywhere this year. But
yeah. It's absurd.
You know, I want to watch my team without paying for cable, and you're telling me that I can't, and that is
you have one option. You have exactly one option. Yeah. Right. Give your money to our friends, or you're out. Well, right. You know what? Screw you.
Yep.
Everybody just cool out.
All right. That we got a little letter here that I think is probably more addressed to you, my friend.
But, oh, yeah.
It says, hey, guys. Is anyone else pissed that the Giants just released Panda without any press or anything? Signed, Pissed in San Francisco. I guess. I'll let you feel this one.
Pissed? No, I wouldn't say pissed. I'm saddened, yes. Both he and Pence.
Well, right, Pence. We're
great Giants. So much fun to watch, have on the field. So important to the World Series run at the beginning of this decade,
and all the belt makers out there, yeah.
I'm not pissed. I'm sad. It was the writing was on the wall. Both players just hadn't been performing well enough to stay on any team, and I get the sentiment. I'm sad to see him go. I'm not pissed. It makes total sense. I'm surprised that it took so long.
Well, there you go. You took the words right out of my mouth.
It really is.
Yeah. I mean, come on.
You know,
that's a final question. Bro.
And to Pablo's credit, he did sign a minor league contract with the Atlanta Braves.
Indeed.
So maybe he has something left in the tank. Maybe we'll see him again.
In the postseason, possibly.
Maybe even in the postseason. Probably why they got him. Well, you know, he has a track record of hitting home runs in the World Series.
Indeed, he does.
So against some pretty well-known pitchers.
Yeah, I mean, he was hitting .220 with one homer and six RBIs on the season. I'm not shocked, and I don't know why you would be this time. It's not like this is if he had been with the Giants entire time. Okay,
and if you're pissed because now you can't wear your panda hat anymore, or you didn't get a panda
hat. He
never
should have been wearing it.
Then you missed the boat. That ship sailed. And don't worry about it. He will be, and at least the thing that I'm most happy about is that it seems like it's on good terms this time. When he left for Boston, after the Giants not re-signing him, there was some words that were exchanged that made it look like that the bridge had been burned. This time, not so much. He expressed his grateful. You know, he understood the position that he was in. He said, bye, thanks for the memories, we'll see you again. And that is, you know, that's good news.
All right. So, yeah. Yeah, I didn't think it was a big deal. I figured, it's about time. Oh. I mean, if anything, Pence was more of a, well, I don't know. I guess they're both pretty. I guess Pence is only there for what? For one?
Two.
And Panda was there for two?
I think he was there for all
three. All three, yeah, okay. Yeah, all right. Yeah, that makes sense. But yeah,
and not surprising the way also, you know, the way that Farhan Zaidi has been managing, you know, the club there's some revolving door, and you know, glad that Brandon Belt has picked up his bat a little bit this year, because he and Crawford, the last two active Giants on the roster that were on during the World Series.
What about Posey? Oh, Posey's not
Posey's active. Not active, right. And he has one more year on his contract. I believe that both Brendan's their contracts expire at the end of the year.
Yeah.
So
that's going to be a tough.
It'll be interesting to see what happens. There'll be more turnover, and if you want to be pissed that Crawford is gone next year, then you might have an argument. But
now we got the one Venezuelan gone, but Did you see there's a Israeli player coming in?
I did notice this.
Is he the first Israeli?
He is the first Israeli ever drafted and to make the major leagues. Dean Kremer.
Kremer, right? Yeah.
Yeah, of the Baltimore Orioles. Made his major league debut and got a win with a fantastic performance. Six innings, one run, one hit, and seven strikeouts.
Congratulations!
That's pretty good. That's pretty good.
It is. Quite the major league debut against the Yankees of all teams. So that's great.
That's kind of the way you want it to go. If you're going to debut, you want, you know, go no, against well, the Yankees no, there's and no, there's, get the win.
There's awesome. No, there's no better way to do it. That's storybook. I mean,
it's pretty cool.
Maybe if it was in Yankee Stadium, that might make it a little bit better. But you know, doesn't matter. It's against the Yankees.
Pretty good, nevertheless. Yeah, that's awesome. I wonder what countries are left. Well, I guess probably a lot of them.
No, there's a lot of them. Yeah.
I'm thinking South America.
I mean, you know, within the in the Western Hemisphere, talking about there may not be so many left, but
yeah, I'm always surprised to see, you know, I mean, like Italy or France. I mean, obviously, a lot of those guys.
Yeah,
but Australia, we saw a little bit.
I mean, there are a growing number of countries that have national teams now, and Israel is
World Baseball Classic
is one for the
yeah.
World Baseball Classic yeah. and Olympic competition should it come back, and it's the likelihood that we will see more players from countries other than the United States, Canada,
or the
Mexico,
right.
Anywhere in the Caribbean, I think will start to increase as the level of play increases, just as more athletes are drawn to the game.
Now, I love the World Baseball Classic, and not just because the U.S. finally won last time, but what I do not love is this proposed idea that I had never even heard of until you were talking to me about this off air about the quote baseball cup.
Yes, this is an interesting idea.
For
I
shame.
Don't know if it has any sort of legs at all.
This is madness.
And it very well may be madness. The ongoing negotiations between the MLB and the MILB.
The minor leagues.
To what is going to happen with the farm system that is current will be changing, and the nature of the change is still to be determined. But one of the proposals is that the minor leagues will be run under the umbrella of Major League Baseball, and this may open the door for the Baseball Cup, which will be a tournament, a single elimination tournament held congruently with the regular Major League Baseball season, and include 120 minor league baseball games and all 30 major league clubs to come up with some sort of champion.
What?
Exactly.
What?
In the middle of the major league season, the games involving major league clubs will be worked in to the natural regular season schedule.
If you're listening to this and you're like, that doesn't even make sense. It sounds crazy. You're not wrong.
It's supposed to be modeled after the English Football Association.
Yeah, according to J.J. Cooper of Baseball America, he was saying the idea is modeled largely after European soccer competitions in which lower-level clubs can compete with top-level clubs in yearly tournaments. Like in England's FA Cup that allows soccer teams from 10 levels of English soccer to compete for a title. And it runs concurrently with the Premier League, which I don't know what I just said. I'm just reading that right now. I don't even know what that means.
Yes, that is a direct quote from the article.
Yeah, it's a direct quote. Aside from the rhetoric and the actual words I just said, I don't understand. Like, what? I mean, MLB complains enough about the World Baseball Classic, which happens every 3 years in the off season. So now we're talking about potentially a tournament in the middle of the major league season. Right. What does this mean?
Well, I think it'd be a way for more players to get exposure to more teams, to see who is more ready, able to compete at a major league
level. We could find
level.
Diamonds in the rough or something. Is that what
diamonds in the rough, experiments about team play and how that affects the outcome of a game versus just pure talent.
This is insane.
Of course, spoiler alert, Major League Baseball clubs will be winning this tournament.
I don't know that.
It will be interesting to see, though, if there is a minor league ball club that can compete with just a team full of major leaguers instead of just a handful of potential major leaguers.
I bet there are. But that'd be interesting. I mean, are managers going to be happy about putting their club out against some double-A team or something and potentially getting hurt?
I don't know. Maybe.
Are they even going to play their best guys?
I don't know. These are all things. I mean, obviously, before anything like this is approved, the Major League Players Association is going to have to agree to it.
Right.
And I imagine a couple more entities as well. This is merely, I think, a possibility. Possibly some speculation, an idea that was floated, and this Cooper is his name. He maybe just globbed onto it and chose to wrote about that as opposed to something more.
From the minor league players' perspective, that's awesome.
Oh, it's great for the minor leaguers.
Yeah, they're not losing anything out of that.
No, I mean,
and there's more of them. Arguably, there's more of them than there are major leaguers, so it benefits them more. You know, I guess it would only be five games or something. You know, but
one of the plots of Brewster's Millions comes to mind.
Cocaine is a hell of a drug.
No, I can't see the managers getting on board with this. They have enough stuff going on. They don't want to deal with this.
I am the goddamn manager, and I'm going to run this goddamn team.
What if they cut the number of overall regular season games? They back down to 154. Integrate these extra games against the minor leaguers.
That's interesting.
And then expand the playoffs.
No, no more expanding the damn playoffs. Can we just get off of expanding the playoffs?
We'll see what happens.
Just do well in the regular season, all right? We don't need the participation trophies coming in to dismantle or disrupt a
more deserved
team.
We'll see if you change your tune
team.
In a month and a half.
I'm not going to change my tune. The Dodgers are going to be the number one seed, probably. Why would I change my tune? If anything, it's just going to cement this tune that I'm
unwillfully humming. Enjoy this round of extended playoffs. So
if the Dodgers win, 100%, yeah.
It goes down to game seven again, and the Dodgers lose. Would you still have enjoyed the postseason?
No.
Playoffs? Don't talk about playoffs. You kidding me? Playoffs? I just hope we can win a game.
No, not that extreme, but I don't like the topsy-turvy nature of all of this. We got to wrap things up. I want to get into the trivia before we start losing everybody, unless you got something else here.
Just the fact that congratulations to the San Diego Padres for finally pinning a loss on Clayton Kershaw for the first time since 2013. but yeah, remind us all what our trivia question was from last week.
Can I? Thank you. Last week's trivia question. Who has the most hits in any 60-game stretch?
Most hits in a 60-game stretch.
Right, because, you know, this is the year of 60, so this will be a running theme in this show, as I'm sure you've already noticed. Not the first 60 games, just any 60-game stretch. Who has the most hits? Very simple. We got Kevin W. in Placerville says, Rogers Hornsby.
Intriguing guess.
That's a good guess. Now, Hornsby did have arguably, well, not arguably, it was the best 60-game stretch of any player in history in terms of batting average. However, his hit total is still not much more than the all-time leader. Or it's not more. It's not more than, not much more. From June 21st to August 29th, 1924, Hornsby hit .467 with 119 hits.
That's impressive. But that's
very impressive. Yeah, but that's not enough.
That's not enough. Wow.
What's strange, though, is that every article I've read about Hornsby's stretch has him hitting .466. But, you know, when I actually counted everything on Baseball Reference, and I ran the numbers, so to speak. Now, I'm not a smart man, but I do know how to add. it gave me a .467 average, which is strange. Either way, it's impressive. But no, 119 hits is not the lead. Let's see. We got Juan in Santa Cruz says, it's got to be Pete Rose. Well, I mean, that makes sense. Now, although Pete Rose is, of course, the all-time hit king, he never put together a 60-game stretch that would make him the leader. So I did find, though, while researching, that Pete Rose had a 44-game stretch in 1978 where he only struck out 5 times.
Wow, impressive.
30 on the whole season.
Charlie Hustle was a lot of fun to watch.
Yeah, that's pretty insane. So, but no, it is not him. We got Sam in Emeryville. Says, I think it might be Johnny Damon.
Johnny Damon.
Now, it's not that crazy. Now, at first I thought this was a pretty crazy guess, but I snooped around. In the year 2000, Johnny Damon did go on an impressive 60-game stretch where he racked up 111 hits from July 9th to September 12th. But as is evident with Hornsby's 119, 111 just ain't gonna cut it. Now, we do have Jose A. in L.A., that rhymes, says, gotta be Ichiro. Well, ding, ding, ding. Yes, indeed, of course. Ichiro was absolutely unconscious in the summer of 04. Between July 1st and September 6th, Ichiro collected 121 hits, making him the greatest 60-game hit king in history.
Wow.
I was going to ask you. I should have asked you
Well, no, that's fine. If a listener gets it before I have an opportunity to make my guess, I have no problem with that.
Who were you thinking? Were you thinking around along those lines?
You know, I was actually thinking it would possibly Altuve.
Boo! Shame! I can't do my shing bell.
No, but he did have a span May 27th to August 8th in your favorite year 2017, where he hit 103 hits in that span. But I was wrong, so I'm glad one of our listeners got it.
Indeed. Yeah. Yes. Yeah. How dare you? Yeah, no. Get that out of here. Now, what do you got for me this week? Remember to email us, baseballshowpodcast@gmail.com, Twitter @WestCoastBias, BB. Yeah. Facebook, I'm not sure. That's
Facebook is West Coast Bias Baseball.
You do not have the trivia. I do.
Yes.
Yes. All right. Well, we're going.
You're not used to this because I usually do have a plethora of questions.
That is true.
We got on this theme and it's great. I'm enjoying the 60 day, but you know, I understand it's confusing.
I'm going to give you one a little bit harder though this time. Okay. All right. 60 game stretch records. This week's trivia question: Who has the most RBIs in a 60-game stretch?
Most RBIs.
In any 60-game stretch.
Wow.
It's a pretty good one. Remember to email us, baseballshowpodcast@gmail.com. Let us know. This one, I mean, it's, a lot of these are probably a little bit easier just because there's been a lot of articles written about, you know, the round number of 60. But, you know, let us know.
Yes.
West Coast Bias, BB, get us going. Hopefully next week it won't be too smoky to do a show, but we shall be back then, or I guess 2 weeks from now. But
2 weeks, we'll be back before the playoff tournament starts,
definitely.
For sure.
100%.
Enjoy the last week of baseball. This should be fun.
Indeed. From San Francisco, California, I am Adam Nelson.
And I am Samuel Paul. Remember, baseball is life. The rest... just details.
Go watch some baseball.